The time is now 4:59, and coming up next, The Velvet Sledgehammer, the Women's Department radio magazine of the year.
Did you ever think that you lived in a cage? Did you ever think that you lived in a cage? Well, they're calling you a chick, and the name just seems to stick, and you still don't think you're living in a cage.
Have you heard?
Welcome to The Velvet Sledgehammer, the radio magazine of the Women's Department of WBAI. Time is now 5:01, and for this May 6th edition, we have three features to present for you. First, a taped interview with Fern Calker Bronson, the founder and artistic director of Kofi, an African dance troupe based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We'll have an interview with Edwina Lee Tyler, a drummer and performer of other African percussions, and also the founder and artistic director of A Piece of the World, an African women's dance and drum ensemble. Our final feature is a live interview and performance with Lunatunes, a women's a cappella group. After the theme music, we'll go to Fern Calker Bronson, founder and artistic director of Kofi. Welcome to The Velvet Sledgehammer. My name is Donna Legerer, and for our first feature, we have an interview with Fern Calker Bronson, who is the founder and artistic director of an African dance and drum ensemble called Kofi. We don't have much time, so I'm not going to waste any of it with introductions, but we'll go straight to the interview. Calker Bronson of the Kofi Dance Company, which is one of about 9 dance companies at the Brooklyn Academy of Music's Dance Africa Festival. And you say that the Kofi Company is about 12 years old, and mm-hmm. you're its founder and artistic director.
Right. Uh-huh. We started in May, this May 5th coming up will be 12 years old. So it started in 1969, and we are the only company of this nature at this point right now in the state of Wisconsin that's actively touring. The Wisconsin population, most of the black people who live in the area of Wisconsin live around the Milwaukee area. And when I got there in the 60s, there wasn't anything African happening. in terms of the arts. And because of my background, having been born there, I was concerned with having an area and a mechanism in which I could do that which was very important to me, you know, as a part of my everyday living. And so I put together a group of young kids that we were, had been working with prior to thinking of it as a company in a theater group at the time. And we started dancing and got a couple of shows in the schools. And it was after that that I decided to formulate in 71 the company into an actual nonprofit organization and set it up as a performing arts company. And that, then this is where we are now.
It's interesting that you didn't start out thinking that you wanted to form a dance company, but more you had this need or this, you know, you wanted to do some dancing.
Yeah, and there was a need for something in the community, and there was an interest there. It was right around the time when black people were dealing with the black renaissance, if you want to call it that, the second one, in terms of people really interested with the African continent, and, you know, dashikis were, quote, in, and the Afro was, quote, in, you know, and that's where everybody was at the time. And there was a lot of interest in African art. So it was natural for me to, you know, take advantage of that situation and begin to develop, you know, something. And I wasn't really sure. I had a vision then that I knew that I wanted, really wanted to do something and wanted to develop a group of people and maybe see a company come out of that. But I never, from one day to the next, I never really, you know, went through a lot of changes in terms of that direction. I just worked each day as it came along, and now this is where we are.
What does the work involve? Like, do you put 40 hours a week into this? Do you put
It's like anything that you really, being a choreographer, is it's a 24-hour thing. And then also, I run our office, you know, so I'm the administrator for the office. You know, with Cedar Cuts, we don't have a huge staff. And in this kind of discipline, the work that I'm doing, I also train the dancers, you know, so that I now have people who've been with me 9-10 years of the 12, and they in turn now train other people who are coming in. But when I first started, it was a constant. I've made costumes, and, you know, but now things are, you know, we've got a little organization set up. But as in anything that you really want to do, you know, it's all consuming.
When you said that you had dancers who had been with you for 9 years, I thought, oh, wow, that's really wonderful.
Yeah, that's been an advantage in my company. I think it's something that's very unique. See, in my company, we function, I have 7 male musicians, and then I have, you know, the dancers who are females at this point. I have young trainees, men, that are coming into the company now. But we function as a family. It's very crucial in my group that when we travel, we stay together, you know. We don't have anybody separate unless they've got something else that they want to go do. But the company as a unit works very well as a family unit. And what I've discovered is that has been very helpful in terms of, it doesn't mean that we have to be socializing together all the time, but it does mean that there's a sense of caring and camaraderie that exists. And it's nice because we've had people, you know, we get new people coming in, but there's always the nucleus around who have been with me over 6-7 years.
Mm. I know my experience with African dance and the different classes I've taken is that you can't help but, you know, have these bonds that form. Mm-hmm. There's something about the dance that just makes certain kinds of connections just happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like your spirit just opens up and it includes the people
Everything.
Around you.
Right, as it should. And it's because the art that we're doing is so open, it allows you to be open, maybe that's what I'm trying to say. And if you're not an open person, I guess it can be very intimidating, you know, to have to be that close to people, if you know what I mean.
Hmm. You were born in Sierra Leone.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you had studied modern dance. Can
you
give me some of your personal history with dance?
Yeah. What I did was my father was African. He is deceased now. My mother was Afro-American. So I grew up in both cultures. And we moved here. I'd been in Africa the first 13 years of my life. And there, you know, you don't have dance studios per se. You don't go to a studio and learn how to do African dance. It's something that just happens as a part of the everyday existence because the dance is not separate. I mean, there are now theater dance companies, but, you know, you separate the theater dance from what is happening in the communal life. And in that sense, everybody learns how to dance and relate to the drums and all that. It wasn't until I got to the United States that I started doing really serious study in terms of modern dance and ballet. And it was during that period of my career that I was very sure of what I wanted to do as a dancer and as a choreographer. And I have always been fascinated with the process of choreographing African work, you know, in terms of how the movements actually come out of work motifs and how the movements actually are pulled out of things that happen every day in life, and you just transpose that. You abstract it a little bit, and you take the rituals and the legends, abstract them, and put them on stage. And that's what is that's what fascinates me as a choreographer. So that's kind of been my background, you know. And I've had modern and jazz, but my heart is in the African diaspora, and that includes black dance in Brazil and black dance in Haiti. We're very interested.
When you were describing, you know, how you would choreograph, it sounds like writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, I choreograph like I write. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my method. the pieces that we're doing as a part of the BAM Festival are all my original works, the choreography. And what I've done is taken, for example, work motifs or ritual symbols, and taken those symbols or icons, you know, the actual physical image, and taken that and structured it choreographically to develop African pieces, you know, but using, what I've done is what the traditional choreographer or the lead dancer in an African village would do, you know, is take, if you're going to do a dance about the harvest, which is a piece we're doing on Sunday, then I went and studied people, you know, preparing the soil, and I went and studied them planting the rice shoots, and I studied the women fanning the rice from the woven baskets, and then ended up with a suite, which is based on the work motif.
That is really interesting.
So in other words, my frame of work is a little different from some choreographers, which is something I want to get into also. There's two ways to approach it. You can either take the traditional dance and bring it here and restage it, or you can do it the way I'm doing it. Both ways are valid, you know, which is to not take the traditional work out of its context, but recreate from within that mode, which is what I'm doing. I call myself a contemporary traditionalist.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that. Africa is like a really large country,
mm-hmm,
continent.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not like, you know, one form of African dance.
Well, we're working right now. We are studying Senegalese dance, but we've discovered that there's so much more that we want to study. It's not enough to just, you know, I could spend a lifetime just learning Senegalese dance. I could spend a lifetime just learning Ashanti dance in Ghana. But what we have decided to do is that I want my company to be familiar. See, each one of these countries that I mentioned, and there are thousands and millions more, all have certain things that are uniquely characteristic of their art form. You know, like the Senegalese have certain, their way of moving is completely different from, example, the way they move in Ghana. It's a whole different kind of technique. So what I've been doing is I've developed a system of exercises and a system of warming up the body, the Western body, so that it becomes adaptable. And let's face it, black people have been brought up in a Western environment, and we don't physically move around as if we may have moved around if we've been brought up in Africa. Or even people who live down south walk physically differently than people who live in cold climates, you know what I mean? So there are certain mental things and physical things that have to be taken into account. And what I have done is devise a system of exercises so that anybody coming into my studio or through the company can go into any African class, whatever technique it is, and be able to do the technique that is required of them. Because African dance is very diverse. You could spend a lifetime just learning one particular kind of dance form and only be working on the legs. And then another one, you know, it's all arms, you know, so it really is diverse.
You mentioned earlier that part of the whole dance process is learning to relate to the drums.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak a little on that?
Yeah, now see, that's another thing about African dance is that, you know, you can study modern dance and ballet, which I have done, and even teaching it, and never, you deal with the music, but you don't really have to. It's not like being a musician. When you're dealing with African music, African dance, rather, you have to be a musician. Your ears have to really open up, because the drum not only speaks, it controls, well, it speaks and controls what you do as a dancer. And the drummer has to be a dancer, and the dancer has to be a musician. You have to be able to, the two work hand in hand, so that you don't dance on top of the music as such. You dance with it. Whereas in the Western concept of dance, the tendency is for the music to be an accompaniment to the dance, which in African dance, I don't see the music as being an accompaniment. It is the dance, and dance is the music. Hmm. The two go, you know, right hand in hand. And when I say music, it doesn't necessarily mean it would be drums. It could be percussion. It could be sticks. It could be bells, whatever. But that is music, too.
It's almost as if there's a spirit that has to come through the instrument.
Right. And it's a vibe, you know. And it is spiritual. It's highly spiritual. And I don't know how one even explains that to people. But as black people in this country, there are a lot of examples that we can relate to in terms of the effect of music. And, you know, you go to sanctified church and what do you see, you know? And we can pick up on a lot of those images in our own community that show that we as a people are very in tune. And music has always been it's like breathing to us. You know, it's just a part of our everyday existence. So therefore, the drum, as we know it to be, we know its significance and its importance in our everyday life. I could not imagine dancing now without a drummer.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, there was a time in my life as a student when I guess I wouldn't have, it wouldn't have even mattered. But to me, it's a necessity for me. I could not imagine not having drummers. Hmm. You know, I wouldn't dance without my drummers.
Hmm.
You see. So there's a whole bond and a spiritual thing. There's something that happens when that djembe drum is played, you know, that just, you know.
What are the instrumentalists in your group? You say you have 9 of them?
We have 7 musicians, and they play right now, you know, and people often think of African drums, everybody's into djembes right now, but there's saba, there's a whole lot of different kind, and each tribe and each country has its own name, but there are millions of different kinds of instruments, you know, from xylophones, balophones, you know, percussion instruments, there's all kinds of African instruments. Now, what we're working on right now is the djembe, the djembe drum. We work with shekeres, junjun, but that's only one very small facet of the African music, you know, so that's where we are right now as a company, you know, but I'm sure in the festival people will be hearing and seeing many different kinds of instruments and many different ways of playing them, you know.
Do you go to Africa on a regular basis to get
information? I wish I could. I have been home twice since I've been in this country, and there's only one other member in my company that's actually 2 others that have been to Africa, and it's something that we're working on, and that's part of what I'm about as a dancer. I feel very strongly that artists, particularly black artists, we cannot afford to just art anymore. We have to become business managers, and we have to become very shrewd at marketing what it is that we do. And I think that's one of the problems that we've had as a people in terms of our art. Our artists have always had to suffer so greatly and many times die in poverty. And we've got all of these other people in the world who actually make money off of our creations, you see. And I don't believe that for me to be an artist, I have to suffer. I don't believe that. I don't believe I should have to, you know, if that's what they call paying dues. I think paying dues as an artist means working hard. It has nothing to do with that I got to go for weeks with no place to live and no food to eat. I think that is absurd. Because while I'm getting while I'm doing all of that, some other person is out here watching me do my little work and then goes out and makes a mint. And to me, that's asinine for me to sit down and accept that as the will of whatever you want to call it. I do not accept that. And I feel that that's how I have structured my company, is that I teach them everything that there is to know about running the company. You see, and my troupe is not called Fern Calker Bronson Dance Company for a very good reason, because when I go on to make my next move, or if I should not be on this particular spot and time on this planet tomorrow or whatever, I do not worry about my company surviving, because what I have done is built an institution that will survive whether or not the individuals who are in it now in there or not. And that's something we have to start doing, is we have to institutionalize what we do as artists. Be it dance, music, whatever, poetry, drama, it doesn't matter. We must overcome what I call a poverty mentality and start thinking about money, and in terms of, so that we can continue doing the relevant things we want to do with our art and making our community support it. That's really important.
Yeah.
It's really important. And that's an answer to your question, you know, when do we go back to Africa? We have not been able to go because the company can't afford it. You know, we had to drive from Milwaukee to here to be a part of the festival, you know. And so it's a matter of building a community base and community support, and that's what we're doing in Milwaukee right now. And we're getting pretty good response now. It's taken 10 years or so, but it's happening.
What I was driving at when I brought that question mm-hmm. up was, you know, how do you get the information and just the, you know, the basic everyday stuff that you build your dances on mm-hmm. from different parts.
Well, whenever I go to Africa, I find that whenever I go to the continent, be it 3 weeks or 5 weeks or, you know, whatever, that I find myself, when I come back, I'm totally drained and wiped out, because I really do absorb everything from the smells to the sights, to the visions, to the touches. You know, I go around feeling things, and, you know, I go into the marketplace, and I remember, recall the smells of certain things. And all of that, to me, is a part of what you end up with as a choreographer that you end up using, and that usually feeds me for years. You know, that experience. I made tapes every place I went of birds singing early in the morning, of the calling the Muslims to prayer, you know, at 6 a.m., 4 a.m., or whatever in the morning. And all of those things, including not... So I did a lot of researching that a lot of choreographers maybe don't go to research. Is that I didn't go straight to the dance source. I went to the actual living source, and that's really important, so that I could come back and then create from the living experience rather than just picking up a dance and then come back to Milwaukee and do this dance and say this dance is done for such and such, you know. And but that's kind of my working mechanism, you know, is before I learn the dance, I want to live with the people and find out what it's all about, you know, and then we can talk about, you know, where the step goes and how it's relevant, you know. What do you eat before you do that step? You know, right, that's important to me.
Sounds like writing.
Yeah, it is. Nobody's ever said that, but it does, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. I write when I choreograph, and I guess that's what I do, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I am a contemporary writer in movement. I could think of it that way.
Yeah.
Using the traditional resources, yeah.
Yeah. And what you were saying before about, you know, we need to know how to be business people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, artists in this country or people who go into the arts aren't plied with the notion that you're supposed to support yourself somewhere. There's supposed to be a patron out there.
Yeah, and it just doesn't happen.
That's never happened.
It's never. What black artist has ever had that? Arthur Mitchell, maybe. But then look at the dues he paid. I mean, he came in through, you know, the ballet, and therefore was already accepted.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so his story of Dance Theater Harlem is something like, it's like, I equate that to, and it's to the all the little boys who out here in the United States go out and play basketball every single day, all with the dream that they're going to make, you know, $12 million a year playing on some basketball team. But then look at the percentage of those, the ratio of all those little boys out there trying to be basketball stars, and equate that to the percentage of how many actually make it.
Yeah.
You see, and then you realize how hopeless it is. It's not going to happen. It's a 1 in a million chance. So therefore, what do? You know, you have to take that art and that talent that we have and keep growing it, but find out a way. You've got to become astute and sharp business-minded about how we project what we do. And business is important. It's crucial. How you present yourself, how you appear. You have to read and you have to study. I guess that's going back to your question, too, how do I do my resources? I also read a lot. I am an avid reader. And I read books that, like, were written in the 1930s about African dance, you know. I'm fascinated by those books because there's so many lies in them. And if you check out the lies, you know, then it really helps it's just fascinating. To me, it's fascinating. You know, I read all the time. I study movies, you know, a lot. And then we bring in people, too. You know, I bring in specialists, various other choreographers to come in and teach master classes and workshops. And then I myself go to study all the time in the United States. Wherever there are things happening, I try to get to. So I'm constantly studying all the time.
Can you name names of people whose work you admire or particularly, or have a
particular
connection to?
Sure. Lavinia Williams is a very important person in my life. You know, Noah Hall has put a piece on my company and has come up and done classes. See, Thomas Pinnock has come in and taken and you know, worked with my company. Rima Pinnock. Let's see, Rod Rogers. I met Denny Zulu today for the first time, but he's always been, I've always admired his work. Let's see, in Philly, there's Arthur Hall. And then there are various people in Africa, like Dr. Opoku at the University of Ghana in Lagos, who was there when I was studying in 1969, that had a profound influence in my life in terms of hearing this man, a very articulate scholar, you know, and hearing him just talk about what it is that art and music is to Ghanaians, you know, was very important to me. But Pearl Primus is another person who, these are people who, I think, I was fascinated with Pearl Primus as a young dancer coming up for the simple reason that here was this woman who, you know, was so articulate in terms of her doctoral research, you know. Here's somebody who actually had a combination of a scholar, but also, you know, was able to take her dancing and turn it into something that she could really give back to people and document and research. And I think that was very fascinating to me, you know. And I was very interested in that combination, you know, because most people, you know, go into dance and that's all they're interested in is going in and out of dance studios. And to me, that's absurd. Because the art form that we have as a people is so different from the Western concept of dance. I mean, you can be a ballet teacher and teach ballet and never crack a book. You just go in there and teach steps. But you can't teach, if you're going to teach Haitian dance, and if you've ever talked to Lavinia Williams, that woman is a running encyclopedia. Not only that, if you're going to talk about Haitian dance, what you have to understand the vodun, you have to understand the religion, you have to understand the rhythm, you have to know the names of the steps, you have to know when they're done, you know? So you have to read and you have to study. So black dance encompasses more than just the execution of steps. It's an, you know, it takes, it's thinking and it's deducting and putting together pieces of information.
Do you have any ideas on what distinguishes African dance, say, from Western dance forms like ballet and modern?
First of all, in terms of the technique, the most obvious distinction I can make is that ballet is geared towards defiance of gravity. The intention is to make the dancer appear weightless and light. And African dance is the complete opposite. The intention, it's not even about an intention. There is a love for the earth and the gravity. And the defiance, it is in the jump. There's a defiance, but it has more to do with man's overcoming overcoming the odds in survival rather than trying to overpower the universe, if you know what I mean, and there's a difference. Trying to defeat gravity is irrelevant in the African context. And I would say because of that one difference, it changes the whole concept technically of how the body is used. Ballet uses, for example, the turnout, and I'm not saying turnout is very dominant in a lot of African dance, but it's not. It's not a turnout. It's more. They wouldn't even think of Africans. Don't even people don't even think of it as a turnout. There's no name for the positions, in other words, is what I'm getting at. You know, in ballet, every step has a name. You know, in African dance, it's not so much every step has a name. It's how the sequence of steps is how they are chained together and what rhythm goes with them and what situation the steps are done. That's how you identify African dance. In that sense, you know, you hear a rhythm and you say, ah, this is a step that goes with that rhythm. And the step, Lavinia once taught us that a step in the non, I guess you might say non-Western and in African context, is not actually just one step, as in ballet, you know, a passe or whatever is one step. In Africa, you can say a step and it's actually a sequence, you know. It's more than one actually step as we think of it in the Western concept, but... And I would say that the other difference is that in ballet, it appears to me that when you have like a group of dancers, the corps de ballet, the intention is for them to all look exactly alike. You know, not only costumes, but in terms of the way they dance, you know, which is not saying that is incorrect. That is the style of ballet. In African dance, you can have 1,900 people on stage doing the same step, and the beauty of it is that they don't all look alike, but somehow you do recognize the step. They're all doing the same thing, but there's that tiny little moment of individuality which is unique, you know. And that's I would say that's the other thing. And then the third thing, which is really very important, is that African dance is highly linked to the religion and to the language and to the culture of the people that it represents, whereas ballet basically does not have, it's ethereal. It has absolutely nothing to do, in terms of early ballet and its origins, it had nothing to do with real life. It came out of the courts.
Like princes and swans.
Right, it came out of the courts, and thereby your early ballets were all about Swan Lake and, you know, Coppelia, you know, it was all fantasy. Mm. And in African dance, not saying that we don't have legends and mythologies and all of that, but I'm saying, but even the legends and the myths are firmly rooted in religious confines and structure, you know. Mm. So it changes the whole concept. They're just completely opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Completely opposite. Not saying they don't work together. They cannot, I'm not saying work together, not saying either one is more important than the other. What I'm saying is, what we do is, and mm-hmm. what they do is, but they're different.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. As a choreographer, one of the concerns I have is that I would like to see black people really start to concentrate very hard in from the inside out rather than the outside in all the time. And what I'm getting at is that we've been through a lot of movements in this country in terms of, you know, the 50s, the development of Africa, and all of a sudden the doors opening up and people wanting to travel to Africa and visit. And then we went through the 60s, I'm Black and I'm Proud, we went through that and people started changing their appearance. And then we went back into a lull, and then now Africa's resurging again and we're getting into people, you know, wanting to get into all kinds of different aspects, which is very important. But to me, you know, we as a people tend to be very reactionary in terms of actionary, and I think that's very dangerous. We change abruptly the course of the direction we're going because somebody forces us to, you know, and then they market what it is we're supposed to buy. And if they decide that this year what we're buying is dashikis, then that's what we buy. You know, and if they decide that Afro wigs are where it's at, then that's what we all of a sudden wear. And I would like to see black people begin to really internalize all of this rhetoric that we put out about what is an African and what is an African-American. We need to study the American history. We need to rewrite and study what really happened to black people in this country, because it should not be forgotten. It is an atrocity what has happened to us that is continually happening, and we should not erase that, because if we're going to be any good to the African continent and to ourselves as a people, and if we're going to preserve the African culture, we cannot negate what has happened here.
Mm.
We cannot negate the struggle of what has happened in this country. The struggle in South Africa is irrelevant if we don't struggle here.
It's
completely, totally irrelevant, because what do we stand on then, you see?
They're also just it's just like a variation of what happened here. It's the same basic process
sure.
of history.
Sure, and see, what's happening in South Africa, I've heard so many black people in this country make statements like, you know, how can so, you know, the population that's actually controlling that situation in South Africa, well, because we're not talking about economics and who really controls it, but, you know, how can black people allow this to happen? We have to look at us. Here, you know, granted the numbers are smaller, the ratio, but the point I'm trying to make is that everywhere where things are happening in the world, we have to build our basis here, and we have to realize that black people have made an incredible, phenomenal contribution to this society here in the United States. And we, you know, look at the Jews. Every time you turn around, what are we seeing on television? The story and the atrocities of what happened to the Jews. And it is important because history does repeat itself. It's very important. And if in all of our Africanisms and all of our ancestors, you know, if they, I'm sure, you know, that at some point they look at us and they say, okay, now what are you going to do? You know, where do you go from here? And to me, it's about internalizing. You have to, whatever it is you read and whatever it is we discover as a people, we have to deal with it first on an individual basis and turn it inside, you know, and say to ourselves, now how do I relate to that? Me, is it real for me? And only when it's real, because I see a lot of people out here running around in all kinds of stuff, different bags, and yet I don't see the essence coming out. I don't really see it real to them, and that's what's important. That's really what's important. And if we can begin to do that, then I think some real viable changes will begin to take place. Not saying that they're not happening, but I don't think the black arts are being supported as they should be. I think it's all very visible and very surface right now, you know. And I'm talking about real organizational structure, and I'm talking about real networks of black companies pulling together and black people supporting them. Because we have enough black people in this country to have that. Mm. And it's when we do it that it'll happen elsewhere in the world. Because black people in Africa look at black people in the United States. We're supposed to have the answers. I don't know if we talked about, well, we talked about dance. This is all about it. You know, that this is what I dance about. You know,
yeah.
if I don't care about my people and if I'm not politicized, and that's another thing, I think black artists have to be politicized.
Yeah.
It is absurd.
Yeah, there's no separation.
There's no separation. It's absurd I run into so many black dancers, you know, who don't care. They don't care about what's going on. They don't read the paper. They don't open the news. I can't understand. How can you call yourself an artist and a black person in this society, in the world, the things that are going on, and be concerned about our next generation? And how can you, what are you dancing about? What are you drumming about? If you don't care about where those sounds and where do those steps go in time, what do they go to? I mean, there are some tribes where every step that you do is directly related to the gods, you know? So how can you jive that around and not be serious about it?
This was really good talking.
I enjoyed it.
I'm really glad you came.
I enjoyed it.
That was Fern Calker Bronson, and I have with me in the studio Edwina Lee Tyler, who is a spiritual drummer by her own description, and she's performed quite a bit around town. You may have seen her at the Feminist Art Institute, or at City Center with the Dance Theater of Harlem, or again with the Dance Theater in Philadelphia at the Schumann Theater, or in any of her performances in various of the southern and western states of this country with Eva Jessie's choir. She's done some concerts at the Seaport Festival in both Prospect Park and Washington Square Park, on television with Zoom with Marie Brooks Children's Dance Theater, on Channel 13 in the tribute to Martin Luther King, or at Columbia's Macmillan Theater. And she's now getting ready for a European tour. And so in just a few minutes, we'll have an interview with Edwina Lee Tyler. Thank you. I'd said I wasn't going to embarrass myself by saying how much, for a long time I've been watching you and just really enjoying your performance. And it's really, I really feel honored that you're here today with us, Edwina. Do you want a chair?
Well, yeah. I'll get the chair.
All right, get the chair. You're listening to The Velvet Sledgehammer, which is the Women's Department magazine of the year. And we started off the show with an interview with Fern Calker Bronson, who's a choreographer of Kofi, an African-American dance company that's based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And she was here for the Brooklyn Academy of Music's Dance Africa Festival. And right now, and after the interview, we heard Edwina play. And now we're going to hear Edwina talk. My first question, and I guess the question that's in a lot of people's minds, was what was the path that led you to do drum? Did you start out in music? And, you know, just how did you land on the drum?
Well, as a child, I remember banging on things as most kids do. They either get into a musical feel or they just take their frustration out on banging on things. I happen to have banged on a lot of pots and tables and got totally into it, and watching my brother, who was totally into percussion instruments, I got into it and wanted to take it further. Then it became a spiritual thing for me to have drumming as a clean out, a rebirth, a different way and a positive way of looking at things. I started playing the piano and taking dance classes, but I, as a growing thing, the drums held to me more than anything else at that time. So I just went totally into it.
When you say at that time, like when did you say get next to African percussions? Did you start out with African percussion or was it American trap drums?
I started off with American drums. I started off on the congas. I started with the bongos and then I started with the congas. I worked myself up to African drums, which is my root, and I found that not only did it stop there, but I wanted to get into classical timpani drums also. I found that it was an open field. My mind just opened up to all sorts of music and developing it into my root, the sound of the root of me on the inside, spiritually. It just opened me up to all percussion instruments.
Mm. When we speak of drum, there are a lot of different kinds of African percussions. What do you play specifically?
Well, there's no drum specifically I play, but I enjoy playing African drums. What I'm doing now is studying the trap drums. I like playing timpani. I like playing congas. Like I said, and African drums, but African drums is the main source of my spirituality.
Uh-huh. What I really was getting at was, you know, congas, djembes, shakere, you know, just naming, you know, those I have seen you play, though.
Oh, yes.